First item on the agenda is the Measure R program update.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Boudreau. I'd like to introduce myself to the committee since I've recently begun my role as the Executive Director of Program Management here at Metro. And of course, there's no programs larger here at Metro than the Measure R program, so I will be presenting the report today and in the future as well.
Welcome.
Thank you. First, I'd like to touch upon the Independent Taxpayers Oversight Committee. That committee did meet on April 18th to accept the annual report as well as the audits that were done for the Measure R program. And I'm happy to report that we passed all the audits that are required by law and that this report will be provided to the board in the next couple of weeks. This slide just gives you a little overview on the types of communication materials that are being provided for Measure R. We have a number of fact sheets, some mailers on specific project areas, and we have fact sheets for the entire program, both on the transit and the highway side, as well as some of the other sub-programs. This slide gives you an overview of where we are on the highway projects, the 15 highway projects that are in the measure. As can be seen, we've got a number of them that are already in the final design construction phase, those being the I-5, Somwalls, the Grade Separations in Alameda Corridor, and our 405 project. And then there's another three projects, the 710 corridor, I-5 North, and 138 that are now in the preliminary engineering phase. And then the High Desert Corridor, the 710 gap, are entering into the environmental stage. And then the 605 hotspots were in the initial planning stages for those series of projects. This slide gives you a summary view of where we are on the transit projects. And I'd like to point out that we've added an enhancement to this slide for the transit side. We're now going to try to provide some information to you on the cost and schedule status of the various Measure R projects, at least in a summary fashion. So you'll see that we have some icons in there for project status for the various projects. Okay, of course, that the project's on budget, on schedule. That there's some possible problems with the yellow diamond, and then major issues when you see the red exclamation point.
Is this on the website?
It will be provided on the website. After we do these briefings to the Measure R committee, we actually provide this information on the website, and we also make copies available for the public prior to the meeting.
Okay. That's part of this.
So just to go over these projects quickly, and if you have any questions, please stop me before we finish on this slide. The Orange Line Extension, Exposition Phase 2 are all in the final design slash construction phase. Orange Line is well along. And Exposition Phase 2 has just recently issued a notice to proceed for their design build contractor. For the Foothill Extension project, it's expected that in July that project will enter into the design and construction phase with the award of their major design build contract. And then for the Crenshaw LAX Regional Connector and Westside Subway Extension, I'm sure you've heard a number of reports on those projects, but they're all going through the preliminary engineering phases. Then going down the list for Eastside Phase 2, the South Bay Green Line Extension and West Santa Ana Branch, those projects are within the environmental phase. And then the East San Fernando Valley North-South Project, Green Line LAX and Sepulveda Pass are just getting into the initial planning phases. And I'd just like to clarify on a couple of the ones that aren't green for you. The Gold Line Foothill Extension extended their substantial completion date from November of 2014 to July of 2015, and that was predominantly to react to some of the proposers who felt that the schedule was too aggressive and that would have a negative impact on the successful completion of the project. And then they had some issues related to getting property necessary for the maintenance facility, which caused some delays as well, which you may have heard about. And then on the Crenshaw LAX project, there's an issue on the cost, which I believe you may be familiar with, where we're still trying to narrow that gap between the available funds and what the project is expected to cost when completed. Is there any questions on this slide?
Apparently not.
And then to wrap it up, the last slide, I wanted to bring you up to date on where we are with our project management information system, which is a system we began on about a year ago to try to help manage some of these Measure R projects, and now we're trying to flow the system out to the other programs as well. We've completed the scheduling module of the system, what we call P6. The document control is nearing completion. Change control is getting close to 75% completion. And then we're in the process of integrating Metro's cost system with this new system and also developing the dashboard architecture that we would use to provide the status on these various projects, which we'll be using in our future reports to the board and to the public.
Can you use segments before the whole thing is complete?
Yes, we have. Actually, in the case of, for instance, the Metro Orange Line, we actually have a dashboard that already exists for that project because it's been fully populated. All the modules are complete, and we're trying to implement it on the remaining projects right now. So we haven't done a full rollout because we don't have all the information necessary for all the projects.
But as we get the information on, we're not waiting for everything to be put on before we start using it.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll try to share some snapshots of that with you as we move forward on this committee, too, so you can see how we're doing on this implementation. And then, as I indicated, we have to pull all these different systems together so it works as a whole and provides the timely, accurate information that the board and other members of the public desire. So that's my status report on our PMIS project. And it also completes my report to you today.
Thank you. Any questions of the board? From the board, we have Dr. Clyde Williams would like to be heard on this matter.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. We would like to make sure that the contract management information system and the projects management information system and the fiscal year 2012. All have a consistent terminology for the SR 710 North Extension Tunnel. It seems to vary depending upon how you look at it. And when you say I-710 corridor, well, previous reports have used I-710 gap closure as part of the I-710 corridor. So there is some confusion as to what's going on. In this particular version, we have the SR 710 gap, and we have the I-710 corridor. So what's going on? There's also an issue as to what is the initial planning for the SR 710 gap closure.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda. Is fiscal responsibility policy for Measure R capital project contingency funds. Go, Dave.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board, and good afternoon. I'm David Yale, Deputy Executive Officer in Regional Programming. This report is an outcome of the motion read by the chair at the March meeting when we adopted our cost management process and policy. The report addresses a policy for the use of transit and highway contingencies in Measure R. We are making four principal recommendations in the policy: that projects with Measure R savings at the project closeout would first apply such savings to reimbursing contingency funds for debt service, that projects that were accelerated relative to their long-range transportation plan schedule would pay for that portion of the debt service that was necessary to support their cash flow in advance of the long-range plan schedule. This is consistent with what we've done on the Gold Line Foothill project. And that the sales tax forecast revisions that we are periodically going to conduct would come from the contingency funds. This will permit us to maintain the minimum amount of funds for each project from Measure R. And finally, we are recommending that Measure R debt service be limited to the levels established in the long-range plan so that the contingency funds would be preserved for the second and third decade projects. I should report to you that the Executive Management and Audit Committee this morning recommended changes to Recommendation D, which would be permissive to 3010 proposals. And we were directed at that committee to propose to the full board a alternative to D that would permit 3010 proposals that did not impact second and third decade projects. and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Go ahead.
Just real quick. So the motion before us, is it as amended in EMAC, or do we have to amend it to match the EBAC?
I'm actually a little curious about that. We were talking about that upstairs, and we don't know.
All right, well, then just...
Perhaps you need to make the motion again.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I'll move it with the amendments that were adopted in EMAC so that they're consistent. The idea behind that was to... the amendments were to substitute a new... letter D that said that if 3010 or America Fast Forward or another kind of funding is available, that we'll be able to utilize those, but the project cost is the project cost as it's reflected in Measure R, and then Zev further amended it to make sure that there's no negative impact from this on second or third decade projects, and they're held harmless in this. And that was agreeable to the mayor and to, you know, in moving this. So it's just to in anticipate if something happens with that before the end of the year, not having to come back again, but to have it in the policy so it can be dealt with, but not to put any other project at risk, not to increase the cost of any project, not to change the order of any project, none of that stuff. So, and that's what I think Zev's motion did, and I think we all agreed to work on the final language with David between now and... So I would move it as amended to be consistent with that understanding.
I'll second. I have a question, though. It's an assumption that in this plan that MTA will receive 50% federal funds for new starts.
Yes.
If that doesn't happen?
If that doesn't happen, a lot depends on to the extent that it doesn't happen. But if there are two levels of new starts funds we're pursuing a 30-10 level, which is on the order of $2.9 billion in the first decade for the regional connector and subway, and a long-range plan level, which is more on the order of $2 billion. If we get at least the long-range plan level, then we would move forward on the long-range plan schedule. If we don't get the 30-10 level, essentially we don't get 30-10, is I guess what I'm trying to say. If we get less than the long-range plan level, we'd have to come back to the board with a plan to show how all Measure R projects could be done given the lower level of funding we've achieved from the federal government.
Which means that
we all have to look at it again.
On debt service, that's, yeah. So it's all subject to change without notice.
Well, no.
I'm
saying is we'd have to come back to you in that event. I think this would all take place at the time the board approves the full funding grant agreement.
Okay.
At that time, you will be asked to approve the agreement. We will also be giving you a layout of how the agreement fits within the whole long-range plan.
So help me understand, when the full fund agreement comes, is that when we know we have the funding? Or
yes.
That'll be next year.
Okay. So... Go ahead.
Well, there's two words. It would be next year, or if there's that $100 million in the president's FY12 budget, which they'll deal with before the end of this year, that we're trying to get a piece of on those two. But it'll be. But then that's small pieces of the puzzle. So there may be a small piece this year, and Paul's exactly right on the larger piece.
All right. Thank you.
I'm just being optimistic.
And I appreciate that.
I want to reassure you, the full funding grant agreement process requires a board action. It cannot be done by the staff.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? We have a motion.
Move it. As amended. I'm sorry. This was not amended. This was amended. Yeah, as amended from the MEC. I'm sorry.
And there was a second. Any objections? Oh, I'm sorry. Don't vote yet. Dr. Clyde Williams.
I'll rescind what we almost did.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno, sorry. This particular motion includes the words twice, savings. What happens to overruns? How big is the contingency going to be for highways? We don't know. So I would highly recommend that you change it to all changes, excess savings and deficits. There's also an issue as to debt service, usually also requires a debt fee, that is, origination fee. There's also some aspects as to, are these present dollars or constant dollars from the LRTP and from Measure R? Because there seems to be some issue as to, well, if we have it this year, how about 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years from now? Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Moved, seconded. Any objections? We're done. Move on to item 3. File High Desert Corridor update.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item 3 is a receive and file report, an update that we do periodically on the status of some of our more important projects. This one, we're working very closely with our partners, Caltrans, on their providing the technical services for this Measure R funded environmental document, and we're doing the community outreach efforts. I have with me from the Highway Program, Robert Machuca, and from Community Outreach, I have Ann Kerman. Robert will make a very brief report, and then we're available for questions.
Thank you.
Great. You want to hear, be here and report on the successful outreach efforts that we've had on the High Desert Corridor project. Back in September of last year, we had our scoping process, and we wanted to go back to the community and provide some additional outreach efforts. So in the month of April, we had 2 elected official briefings and 4 outreach open house style meetings in Lancaster and Lake Los Angeles, town of Apple Valley, and Adelanto. We had huge success with the meetings. We had over 300 people participating in these meetings. Approximately 28 logged in through Ustream, watched the meeting, so that saved some trips out there. And of course, two of the meetings also were tweeted, so a lot of the tweet information was provided to the community. Now, we did get some concerns from the community out there, and they resulted in issues of traffic impacts, safety, and hydrology and population growths. But overwhelmingly, we did get support for the project and getting good input from the community.
Good. Thank you.
And we're available for questions.
Let's get this through, and then we'll hit you with questions if there are any.
Great.
We're done. No, you have nothing. Oh. Perfect. I'm sorry. I'm a little dense today. Are there any questions?
Question. What is the environmental process?
The environmental process will be completed on project approval and environmental documentation, which is being done by Caltrans 67, will be completed in July of 2013.
And when will we be briefed on the public-private partnership aspects of the project?
Yes. What we're doing, as we do on so many of these projects, is we're trying to separate the environmental process from the financial aspects, particularly public-private partnership. But our team doing public-private partnerships under Mr. Roger Moliere, I know, have been putting together a briefing for the board on all of the public-private partnerships we have going. So I anticipate that will happen over this summer.
Will you consider a potential rail corridor within that deployment at this time?
Yes, we are aware of the efforts by the Desert Express to bring high-speed rail from Victorville to Las Vegas. We are aware that they have plans to turn through the high desert at that point and then hook up with Palmdale. So as a minimum, we have a requirement to make sure that we clear a corridor for the high desert corridor, be aware of it and talk about it as a potential project as well. They have approached us, the Desert Express folks have approached us and are in the process of getting ready to offer us money to take that environmental clearance to a further step. So we're working with them on how we can be cooperative on that process.
And that requires a separate EIR?
It can either be done within this EIR if we have sufficient funds to be able to clear the entire corridor. As an absolute minimum, we need to talk about them as a project that's planned in the future, identify an envelope for them, and take it to like a tier one level of clearance. And that would be a requirement under both CEQA and NEPA. If resources come through from them, again, that'd be at the direction of the board, we could take it to a higher level of clearance.
And when does the actual construction for Desert Express begin? Is it in the fall, September, or is it currently underway?
The Desert Express is not currently under construction. It's had a couple of different start times. The latest one I heard was this coming fall. Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? No objections. We'll receive and file. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 4.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item 4 is a receive and file again, one of those major projects we try to bring before you periodically. This is the I-5 widening from the Orange County line to I-605. I have with me Mr. John Grace from the Highway Program, who's leading that effort. I'll ask him to make a report.
Thank you. Today we want to, as Doug said, provide a status report on I-5, talk about the first of the project segments to be advertised. We'd also like to inform the committee about potential project risks to the corridor, as well as talking about some of the mitigation efforts that are underway. I'd like to take you back to the November meeting when we informed you about Caltrans splitting the project into segments based on staging and project delivery. At that time, they also received CTC approval to move the corridor mobility investment account, CMIA funding, from across the corridor to just 3 segments. These segments were chosen because they had the least risk at the time and the greatest probability of meeting the CMIA program's November 2012 construction start date. This construction start date is an issue we'll return to as we go through the rest of the report, but I do want to note that failure to meet this construction start date could result in the loss of funds for the subject project. This next slide we're not going to spend a lot of time on. It's actually kind of a gentle segue into talking about the next risk on the corridor. I would focus your attention, if you will, on the right-of-way phase. You can see that Carmenita, a project we're going to talk about in just a minute, is only 95% complete right-of-way, and all of the other segments less complete. Caltrans is moving forward on the corridor with a Certification 3 right-of-way. That essentially is a workaround. It's a bit of a mitigation effort. It allows Caltrans to continue the work, advertise, award, and construct without having all the right-of-way done, maintain schedule while the remaining right-of-way parcels are completed. Carmenita, we're happy to report, is the first of the segments to start construction. Caltrans advertised the project in March of this year. Bids were opened on May 12th. We received 8 bids, the lowest about 10% under the engineer's estimate. So we have about a $10 million savings on that project. You can see we have kind of a blank number under the right-of-way cost for that project. There's still some right-of-way to be resolved on that. We've listed the risks on this in all projects, even though this is about to start construction, and we think we have all the mitigations pretty much done. There are still some questions about the final cost for the right-of-way on this project, so it's very possible that the $10 million in savings on construction might need to be rolled into right-of-way.
Is that enough?
Sorry?
Is $10 million enough?
Well, we don't know yet. There's still some issues to be resolved. There's some commercial properties with some fairly significant costs. We'll report back as that cost is known.
Although it looks good.
Okay, I'm just sort of wondering, I mean, you know, it sort of reminds me when we talked about Orange County years ago was going to do a super street, you know, if you remember, through all of Orange County, and the city in the middle said no. And it was sort of messed up the whole idea. And, you know, as I'm watching the money that's being spent here, I'm glad, Doug, that you have a high degree of confidence that we can get there. But, I'm just concerned we're spending money, and if someone in the middle says no, this is going to mess this up big time.
Absolutely, and the biggest issue we've got here is right-of-way acquisition. The designs are coming in. We're still getting decent bids. There was great competition on Carmenita Interchange itself. There's huge interest in the industry, and I know that Mr. Miles has been talking with some of the board members on some of the right-of-way challenges. There was a change in state law about 2 years ago that added several steps to the process because of budget cuts. The county closed a certain division that handled all of the condemnation issues. Commissioner Mitchell's court was closed. We loved love Commissioner Mitchell. Nobody loved Commissioner Mitchell. He was a tough but fair judge, and he knew the process, and you could count on him understanding the issues and putting them through in a timely manner. So all of those cases now are spread throughout the entire court system. We're in conversations to see if that can get reconsolidated again, so you have a single judge that's very knowledgeable in this specific area. It impacts not just this project for the state, but obviously city and county projects, because they all went through one court, Commissioner Mitchell. So I'm not that worried about Carmenita, but it is one that we have to watch. The original plan was basically to get Carmenita done first, start at the south end of the project adjacent to the Orange County border. That's where Alondra is, the actual next project to go to construction, and then kind of work our way north. Because of right-of-way complexities, we are skipping around a little bit. The last project is actually at Valley View Interchange. Much of the right-of-way is simple, single-family home residential property acquisitions. Usually that's pretty easy. Carmenita is one of the most complex business acquisitions I've ever seen. 25 and 30 and 50 tenants in a single building. Each tenant had to be individually noticed for multiple times as you go through the process under current law. Each has a chance to challenge it and make you go to court for each of those acquisitions, so much as a right to test and see what you're buying. Valley View is going to be very similar in complexity, so that's why it's going to be last. Now we're holding that out. But the process needs to be watched. We're managing it very carefully. I'm meeting every other week with Caltrans staff, Mr. Grace and I. We're going into great detail on where we're at in the right-of-way process, watching our money.
I noticed the plan from at least the schedule that's on the next pages. We're going to actually start construction before we have all the right-of-way.
On Carmenita, Cert 3W, correct?
I'm sorry?
On Carmenita, we have a Cert 3W, which means we have a lot of the right-of-way acquired.
Because you got to start June 11, give or take, on Carmelita, but we got 20% on Valley View, and we're going to start that 2 years later. So we'll be constructing in 11 and 12, but what happens if we don't get the Valley View pieces? That's all I'm wondering, because we'll be building.
Yeah. Our biggest risk financially is the CMIA funds on the project, and that there's a December 2012 deadline. We've concentrated those funds into the early segments where we're acquiring the right-of-way most expeditiously, that we control better. The funding for both Valley View and Florence, which are currently proposed to be the last two segments, you can see the right-of-way is less further along, and that is a different type of funding. So we are watching it, but and I understand the risks that you're talking about.
So the theory would be that if we get, say we get stopped at Valley View or Imperial, we'll widen as far as we can.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll move the bottleneck at least.
We're going to keep moving the bottleneck up towards our direction.
Got it.
And okay. Is that not why we segmented it?
That is exactly why we segmented it. Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, for a lot of reasons, that's one of the major reasons. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
With the risks associated with this, can we get a monthly report on where we are with the right-of-way?
We would be happy to provide that, probably in written form to the committee, yeah. if that's what you would like.
That's fine, but we just want to keep track of this and monitor and see if there's anything you need to alert us to.
Yeah, absolutely, sir.
Commissioner Tonovich, and he set us up with the presiding judge, so we're going to have a meeting to talk about the eminent domain. And one of the issues, Commissioner Katz, is that we need to get onto the property to test it, and a lot of owners won't let us on the property because once we test it, if there's any hazardous waste, they're responsible for cleaning it up. So
let's
do the testing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and if I could, to add to it, I mean, we're cooperating at a level that we never have before with Caltrans. We're actually providing right-of-way assistance from our own staff in order to help make sure the process is met. We're working together very well. You know, the economy and the fact that usually the easy piece is the single-family residential acquisitions, but so many people are upside down on their properties right now that it's becoming more difficult than normal, so that's why we're managing it that closely, and we'll keep you posted.
Thank you very much.
Okay. The next segment, Star Construction, Alondra. It's a relatively small segment, $109 million. It's the first of the CMIA projects, Star Construction. you can see its construction start date is November 11th, which easily complies with the CMIA program's November 2012 start date. Again, this has, we've listed right away in utility issues. There are going to be issues generally on all of the projects. This project only has 8 residential properties. That's the full right-of-way take. I think 4 of those have been taken, and we have 4 that are contaminated or have some other issues on it. But none of the risks listed on this project are going to impact project delivery or cost at this point. The next project start, the second of the CMIA projects, is the Shoemaker-Rosecrans-Bloomfield Bridges segment. $147 million in CMIA funding for construction on the project. It's scheduled to start construction August 2012, a date that, like a Londra segment, could pose some risks if we don't get the right-of-way acquired for this project. At this point, as Doug said, we're fairly confident that right-of-way is moving forward carefully along with the mitigation efforts that Doug has listed. We'll talk about some more at the end of the project. This has a lot of residential properties. Also, some hazardous waste issues. We found that, and I think Mike just talked about the need to get in and look at properties and do investigations. And when we do that, it really mitigates some of the risk in taking properties with hazardous waste and speeds up the whole process. The next project, Imperial Norwalk San Antonio, that's the third of the CMIA projects, $302 million total project cost. $167 million in CMI projects. We're paying special attention to. It has quite a few properties, 195 parcels actually to be taken, 150 residential, 45 commercial, and a couple of those are contaminated. And we're going to be watching this one very carefully. There is some challenges on this project. Valley View, Doug talked about just a minute. This is the largest of the segments on the I-5 freeway, $416 million. It begins construction in 2013 with construction in 2016. There are expected challenges and risks on this project. A lot of commercial properties, and a lot of those properties are contaminated. We also have business relocation issues to deal with. There's some railroad right-of-way issues to deal with. But these are, again, this project is 2 years out. We're looking at this project carefully, and as necessity requires, we'll take appropriate mitigation actions. Final project on I-5 is Florence Avenue. No CMIA funding on this project. Not much to say about this. Again, it's out about 2 years or so, and we think this is going to be delivered when scheduled. If I can summarize, the major risks on this project, again, are right-of-way, CMIA funding, and we've really only talked about the initial impact of CMIA funding meeting that construction start date. CMIA funding, and I think David Yale has provided a report on bond financing, but CMIA funding comes from bond sales. There was no bond sale early this year. If there's not a bond sale later in the year, in the fall, there could be some issues in maintaining funding for this project and Caltrans going forward with award and construction starts on this. I think we've talked about funding issues, right-of-way issues. We'll open it up to questions if you have any.
Any questions? I have one. When we talk about contaminated property, is it typically industrial as opposed to residential or commercial?
There are, on this project, Mike, if you want to jump in too, there are off-site and on-site contamination sources. They're just difficult to deal with. They exist on most right-of-way issues, and Mike, maybe you want to...
Well, I would jump in just a bit. Primary sources of contamination that we're looking at are industrial uses, truck facilities, things like that, gasoline stations. In one case, there's a gasoline station that has created actually a Superfund site by going down and contaminating the groundwater. If you're able to track it back and determine that the property owner themselves may have had a hand in the contamination of the site, then that becomes an offset to the value of the property. Much of the time, these groundwater issues, because it was not any fault of the property owner at all, does not result in the evaluation, but we do have to test and know what we're dealing with, have a process.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Dr. Williams, I forgot you. I'll get you. Don't go away. Any other questions? If not, this is a receive and file. No objections? Now, Dr. Williams, if you'll be patient, I'll ask the directors to sit. Thank you very much. I'll ask the directors to sit and wait for the comments that you had. No? And you want to speak on this one, public comment, so that's fine.
I'll combine. Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. I had wanted to make comments regarding the High Desert in regard to the scoping report. In some ways, we're using this as a trial balloon as to what's going to happen for the SR 710 North. A scope, an executive summary of the scoping report does not provide the scoping report itself. So I would highly recommend that if you're going to receive and file, it should be a receipt and file of the entire document rather than just an executive summary, because we'd like to see what was actually part of the scoping report. So in that case, we'd like to have that one revised. On the other issues, as to the SR 710 or I 710 South, the I 710 North, the gap closure, there should be one consistent usage throughout all of the contract and project management information systems. That is SR 710 North Extension. Piece of cake. Thank you.
Thank you. John Walsh. Thank you very much.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org and emailing at HollywoodDems@gmail.com. We're wondering what's happening on the system today, the subway, because when I entered at 11 a.m. at Vine Street, the sheriffs were searching bags, any carry-on. They had a table out there. Now, I've never seen that. I was on the first day they opened the subway. I then was told that possibly the threat level has been raised. Has it been raised nationally? Has it been raised only on the MTA? But, in fact, I saw something today that I had never seen before. The sheriff's doing an excellent job. There was no problem. But I want to know why we are being searched now at 11 a.m. this morning on the Vine Street station.
Thank you. That's all the public comment I have. Meeting adjourned. Thank you for your service.
Japan?
Well, there's Korea,
there's Chinese, Korean, Spanish.
Gap's Chinese. So it's Korean.
So we got good competition.
Very good. The Italians didn't get it. That's good. I mean,
they had their show.
They had their show.
That's kind of like what's happening.
Oh, good.
How are you? Good. I like your tie.
Okay.
Nice pink, right?
Like that's so plain.
What? What's wrong with that?
Well, the problem I would have is that it would show the.
But I have a problem.
Can
you
hear? Thank you.
Yeah, there's something about where you're good.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
So,
you just hang on to it.
Do you know if it's
okay. It'll be when this meeting is over.
We switch sides, Michelle?
Yes.
Where do I sit? I'm over there?
Right here.
Okay. I'll be
have to keep you moving.
I like the way
Yeah, we gotta make sure you
keeps us on our toes.
Yes.